I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Well, joining us now, Tim Lacombe's kind enough to join us, longtime BYU assistant coach, and of course now on our Jazz pre-half and post-game shows. Coach, how are you?
Hey, Coach.
Send in the clouds. You gotta have clouds. Oh, send me clouds.
Did you say clouds?
Your cloud conversation. Thought I'd come in with the clouds instead of the clouds.
I like it. I like it.
Clouds works for both for hands. Clouds or clouds.
Boy, that's not helpful. Hey, by the way, our conversation with Tim Lacombe is always brought to you by Sphereon. Are you a business owner? You have better things to do than to try to find your next great hire. Sphereon Staffing and Recruiting is going to do it for you. Go online at Sphereon.com, Sphereon.com, and let's just talk about it right now before we get into the Jazz stuff. You got an opportunity to get people $30 an hour with a great job opportunity going on out there.
Yeah, up to 30, you know, somewhere in the range of 24 to 30, depending on experience. But a really cool new company in the beverage industry, really innovative, actually create and manufacture the can and can also fill and then ship, you know, from the location. So a really cool new opportunity. And if you reach out to me, you can hit me on Twitter at T. Lacombe. You can DM me there. You also, Sphereon.com/Utah, you can get more detail. But, yeah, we got to have 100 people to ramp 100 people by March 3rd. So if you're interested, reach out. We'd love to help you.
Call up, man. Sounds like a great job.
It's a great job. It's an amazing, amazing facility. Take you out there someday, Hans.
I'd love to do it.
Actually, they wanted you guys to do a remote, so we might have to look into that.
I'd love to do that even more.
Yeah, we'll come out there. We'll hang out. We'll get it going, and then we'll get some. If they're willing to work with us mornings or late evenings, you know, we only need to work 12 to 3 so.
Not the truth.
So you guys could work Grave.
Yeah, sign us up.
I could use the help. I really could. Could use that infusion.
We're not all I guess you're not quite an empty nester yet, Coach. You're getting close though, right?
No, my daughter's a junior. Daughter's a junior at Temp View High School. So one more year, and then you need to really be careful because I'm on the prowl yet again.
Hey, Coach, how miraculous was what you saw last night from Damian Lillard?
Oh, man, he was definitely feeling it, wasn't he? Just a special player. I'm actually in our office up here today in Ogden, so I'm close to where his roots were planted here at Weber State. But phenomenal night. Really efficient. Obviously, the way he got it done without, you know, only going to the line 10 times. You see a number 60, you think you're going to get maybe 20 free throws. But he had it going. And, his ability to get you in so many ways, he had a ton of success kind of using the Jazz aggression against him. They were trying to double him as he came across half court, and he just kept beating the double. It really caused the Jazz some issues. And, you know, Walker's got a lot to learn. He's so good in so many areas. But Damian Lillard will test you. He'll test every aspect of you as a big. So a phenomenal night. One of those nights I'll never forget, you know, sitting there watching it.
Yeah, again, those are one of those iconic performances that you don't see very often. And putting on a display like that and the efficient way in which he did it, 21 of 29 from the field, 10 free throws. I mean, it was a clean performance. Guys can ratchet up a lot of points, but they take a lot of work to get there. That wasn't the case last night.
And the hard part with a guy like him, you know, that I call him the one name guys, you know, guys, you know, you just, all you got to say is Dame and you know who we're talking about.
Yeah.
But he's one of those guys. And when they get it going, you know, I remember watching games in high school, Saturday afternoon, you know, watch Jordan just absolutely go off on somebody, you know, go for 50. And you remember those magic nights, but he had that. And when they start making shots early, we talked about how efficient he did it making shots. And he did it at a very, very extremely high level. The Jazz played great offense. You know, they were a 1-2-5 offensive rating last night. Problem was Dame was just better and Portland was better. They were a 1-3-4. The Jazz just struggled last night to contain him, but that's not something that the other teams can't say either. Along his career, he's definitely been a handful.
Yeah, he's really incredible. We were just talking about his contract, Coach. In regards to what Damian can do now and what he can do when he reaches 36, the final year of his contract that has a player option for $63 million, how valuable, how movable is Damian Lillard right now? Just this contract that's attached to him is so healthy. It is such big dollar amounts. But he can give you a 60-point performance. How many teams out there would be willing to take on that contract?
It would certainly be a blockbuster, right? And with his contract, the pieces involved would have to be pretty major too. So, you know, I don't know. I think anything's probably possible. We talked last night about in the pregame, Portland, you know, they really struggled to be better than they are right now. And a big part of it we talked about was their inability to guard. I felt like as a franchise, when they took Dame and then a couple years later, they took someone, you know, they took McCollum who, in a lot of ways, you replicate so much of the way you get in Dame. And unfortunately, one of the things you replicate is you replicate the size and then not the best, you know, on-ball defender. So over time, you know, the Blazers were good. They're really competitive. But they struggled to get stops enough and obviously made the move for Grant. They moved McCollum out. The crazy thing is if Portland would have taken in that draft. It took McCollum 10 after getting, it was in 2013. Giannis was 15. Can you imagine if Lillard and Giannis organically played together right from the jump? Portland would have a couple championships right now.
Yeah.
And really that's the degree of difficulty. That's, you know, hindsight not being, it certainly is 2020, but facing it. You know, McCollum made a lot of sense, but man, looking back at it. You know, I think it's possible, but at the same time, this Portland team, you know, they're good enough. Their depth isn't great, but I think they're good enough to get to the playoffs. And if Dame can start feeling it, if they can stay healthy, you know, maybe they make a run. But I would not be totally surprised, perhaps even maybe at the end of the year, if something were to happen with him. He's been so loyal to that town, and I know they've been loyal to him, but sometimes you just got to part ways like the Jazz did with Donovan and Rudy and start over.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
You know, you bring up an interesting point there because I think a lot of us, and I'll fall into this trap as well, and I'll admit it, that you see the highlights of Victor and even Scoot, and you're like, you got a tank. You just got to bottom this thing out to get one of those guys. And we had Ryan Smith on a couple of weeks ago, and Hans asked him about, you know, look, you know, you're not in that realm anymore. You've won 25 games, and you know, that's, if you're a 500 team, you're not going to be anywhere close. And right now, you already have too many wins to be in that debate. So with that being said, Ryan said, hey, look, you know, it's not about necessarily where we pick. We just got to make sure we hit on those picks. And there's enough value and enough stars that have fallen into the teens or the, you know, 11, 12, 13 range where the Jazz may end up, even with their pick or the Minnesota pick, that you can find guys. And he said, look, you know, we're committed to being able to find them. Do you think the Jazz have the front office? And with Danny Ainge, it's a loaded question because I think the answer is yes. But do you think that the Jazz are equipped to be able to find stars based on where they're probably going to be picking next year?
Well, I think they're as equipped for that as anybody, right? Danny's ability, just flat-out ability to understand the nuance of this league is really, you know, in my mind, the real value. But the number of players that he and Justin Zanuck have seen come through, you know, their staff does a great job of due diligence. But you're exactly right, Scotty. That's the funny part about all this. You know, when these moves were made and everybody instantly went to the tank, I thought to myself, I just don't know how you establish any sort of winning culture, you know, particularly with a new coach, and go in there and say, you know, that old approach, hey guys, go out there and suck. You know, we want to lose. I just never bought it. So it's been really interesting to watch kind of all the pieces form. You know, the phase that they went out and made the moves, and they brought back the pieces they brought back intentionally, Lowry being one of them. You know, I don't think anybody in this league thought Lowry could have the year he's having. I really don't, or else he wouldn't have been traded, or he would have been more of a commodity for someone else. But yeah, I think you make a great point. It's hitting where you draft. I mean, years ago, you know, I don't want to bring back a bad memory, but I think things are different in Utah with Donovan and Rudy if the Jazz draft Desmond Bain, who was on the board to be drafted, who made a ton of sense. They needed a defender, and they needed somebody who made shots. He's over 40% from three in college. Big, strong, and we've seen what he's done in the NBA. But you don't take him. You take another big guy, and you set back your progress. You just do. There's no other way to say it. So it's important to hit, but you don't have to get one or two. Nobody right now, I know this is stupid, but you know, there's a chance Wembanyama is Ralph Sampson. And Ralph was a great player, right? But Ralph wasn't anything we hadn't seen before, you know. He was 7'4", but his skill level and all that. So all that stuff remains to be seen. I do know this. Scoot Henderson plays with Eric Mika. I talked to Eric a couple weeks ago, and he just raved about the kid, you know. Thinks that he may be the real prize of the draft. So, again, hit where you go. But in my mind, continue to develop, win games, and then if you draft 15, you draft 15. If you draft 10, you draft 10. But just make sure you get a good player.
Coach, last night Walker Kessler started out on fire, and this was a matchup that Scotty and I were really excited about, him versus Yusuf Nurkic. And started out on fire and kind of petered out. What did you see from Kessler? And just kind of give us your thoughts on that matchup last night.
Well, you relate to this, dude. I'm going to actually turn this back on you. I mean, you get to the league as a college kid, and you feel like you've got a big, strong body, you know, and you've done a good job in college of moving guys around. And you get in the locker room, and you get, you know, down in the stance against a veteran, a guy who's been in the league a handful of years. Are they bigger than you?
No,
most times?
Not necessarily. I mean, they may have a couple of years of growth, for sure, but...
Okay. Yeah, okay, so size about the same. Mm-hmm. What's the advantage of the dude across the line from you?
It's just pure maneuverability. It's angles and it's technique. It's just the...
It's sense and it's know-how, right?
The little tricks of the trade, yeah.
I mean, and you get a guy moving in one direction, he's bigger than you, and you just help him move that direction, right? You know, yeah. My understanding of how it all works. But in Walker's case, he does a really good job when he's able to really play teams with maybe a center that pops and plays a little bit on the perimeter. You get a Nurkic who every single possession that he runs the floor, you're going to feel his elbow right in your throat or your sternum. Every move he makes, you're going to catch a little bit of a shrapnel. And then, all to boot, you've got one of the best players of all time at the top that you're responsible for not letting turn the corner. So it's a battle, and the boards, you know, with Nurkic, it's a fight. So I think last night was just a bad matchup. I think Nurkic is a big, strong veteran who really understands the nuance of the game, and Walker's learning it. And I think it's as simple as that. I really do.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Of course, the great Tim Lacombe joining us right here as we get you ready for, again, coming up on the All-Star game. Where's your level of excitement for this game? Because, you know, you're probably going to see Markkanen involved. There'll probably be some other Jazz players involved in some of the other exterior events. But to have it back in Salt Lake City, where's your excitement level for this thing?
Yeah, I'm usually, you know, the All-Star game, I love the All-Star game because I get a week off. Yeah. In this instance, I love the thought of the basketball world being in Salt Lake. This is an amazing basketball town. And you think about the history, you know, one of my first basketball memories is the excitement of the Final Four coming in 79, Bird and Magic playing up there on the hill. I went up there, you know, we didn't have the money at the time to get seats, but I went up there and for the free shoot around. I remember watching those guys with my little program as a 9-year-old kid. You know, a ton of stuff's changed and evolved, and we've got a professional franchise here that is so well run. I love, absolutely love what the Jazz does for the community. Just a couple of days ago, they got involved in a process to help people expunge, you know, things that are slowing them down in life and not allowing them to progress. I think they're mindful of so many things going on. So for me, that idea of basketball world coming to our town, the people, you know, Ryan and Ashley, Danny, Justin, the organization itself, it's just, it's an awesome thing to highlight our place and have everybody here. I would encourage everybody listening, like at the Final Four, one of the coolest things to do is just go downtown and walk around, because, you know, you look close, but look in the crosswalk. And, you know, for me, my first Final Four, I'm walking through the crosswalk with Tom Izzo. You know, it's just cool. So walk around downtown. Go take part in the free events. There's so many people that will be here for the event. It'll be a fun time, and I'm looking forward to it. Again, I'm not a huge All-Star game guy. I hate, you know, there's part of me as a coach that hates singling out the individual because you work so hard for the team, but I get the All-Star game, and having it here, that gets me really excited.
It was crazy last night too, Coach, just kind of watching through that game, was the efficiency from the perimeter, both teams. It felt like there was a streak where nothing was missed on the outside, but Jazz seemed to be continuing to hit well from the outside. They've had consecutive games of 40-plus percent from the outside. Do you feel like that three is starting to really bear down for them?
Well, they went through a period of time where they didn't shoot it great, and then everything comes back around. They were shooting the ball consistently, kind of night after night in the 30s for it seemed like a week or two. Had a hard time breaking out of it, maybe night here and a night there. They're a better shooting team than that. They get good looks, too. They really pass the ball well, this team does. So I'm not surprised that number's come back around. I think, you know, it's probably – last night was a little bit on the high side. But I think that, you know, this team is right around 35, you know, somewhere between 37 and 40%, you know, on the high end. So it's a it's good when they make shots, so that really helps everything that they do.
Top three Eagles songs, in no particular order.
Witchy Woman.
Oh, nice.
Take It Easy.
Yeah, there you go.
And One of These Nights.
Good list. Great list.
But that's also saying, which hair do you like best on your head?
No, I know. And
because I love music. They're all like children to me.
You didn't like my top three list, Coach?
No, I love your top three. I respect everything you do. I just couldn't parse it. It would be an impossible exercise for me. Remind me of the three, though.
So
Saturday's Warrior.
Lloyd, it's my turn on Earth. TLC. My turn on Earth.
Oh my God.
And I got a dime in my pocket.
I don't even want to tell you the real ones. I just want it to be those.
No, it's Creep. I hear that. My radio head.
It's not. Yeah, it's not this one. Lloyd, stop. It's not this one.
I know. Lloyd's playing games as always.
Oh, don't get all offensive and tell me to stop like that.
I don't like the song. I like Creep.
How do you not like this song?
My Radiohead.
Do you see Creep? Yeah. Creep is good.
You know what's, a
he's a more waterfalls guy.
Yeah.
Creep by the Stone Temple Pilots. Now that's a creep.
That's another good creep.
Check that one. Yeah.
That's a good creep. But that's
still.
You guys
come down and just accompany. Just sit in my room. You know that song? Someday, baby, you'll accompany me. You know that one?
Yeah.
Why don't you guys come down and just accompany me in my room and we'll just, you guys throw a song out? You know, I'll learn Saturday's Warrior for you, Hans.
Jimmy.
Who
Jimmy.
Are these children coming? Okay, I better go.
Yeah, it might be that time.
Okay, love you, boys.
You're the best.
Love you, Coach.
That's Tim Lacombe.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.